podcast of the Leeds Centre for Dante Studies.
I'm Claire Honus. The fifth International Dante Seminar took place in Oxford between the 20th and the 22nd of September 2007. The International Dante Seminar was founded in 1991 by Zyg Baranski, Robert Hollander, Amilcare Iannucci and Lino Pertile. It has to date held conferences in Princeton, Ascona, Florence, Notre Dame and now in Oxford. One of the distinguishing characteristics of the seminar is that papers are not read aloud but are pre-circulated to all participants, both speakers and invited discussants. Those invited to participate as the authors of papers then have 15 to 20 minutes to present the central concerns of their texts, leaving as much time as possible free for discussion. The proceedings of the conferences include a transcription of the discussion alongside the texts of the papers presented. The Oxford seminar was entitled Dante Lirico e Etico and was divided into four sessions: Dante the Ethical Poet, Dante the Lyric Poet, Dante and the Eclogues, and Dante in 19th century Britain. There were a total of 10 papers given by scholars from Britain, Italy, and the United States. Discussants were drawn from across Europe and North America, and even from Australia. On this occasion, I was invited to give a paper in the session on Dante and ethics. My paper was entitled Salus Venus Virtus, Poetry, Politics and Ethics from the De Vulgari Eloquentia to the Commedia, and it attempted to elucidate an important passage from Book 2, Chapter 2 of the De Vulgari Eloquentia, in which Dante is trying to define which types of subject matter are most suitable for poetry in the illustrious vernacular which the treatise is trying to define. He claims that since human beings have a soul which is vegetative, animal, and rational, they're naturally inclined towards three goals: that which is useful, linked to the vegetative soul; that which gives them pleasure, linked to the animal soul; and that which is virtuous, linked to the rational soul. All three of these goals are worthy subjects to be treated in poetry, but the most worthy of the three, deserving to be treated in the noblest form of the vernacular, is virtue, since it is the rational soul which human beings share with God and the angels, and which elevates them above the plants and the beasts. In the same chapter, Dante goes on to specify that these three goals tend to be translated in poetry into three main themes: prowess in arms, ardour in love, and control of one's own will, that is to say, good behaviour, or what Dante calls here rectitude. As proof of this, Dante gives examples of three Occitan poets who most perfectly exemplify the three themes: Bertrand de Born, Arnaut Daniel, and Giraud de Bornay. And these same themes have even found exponents in the new language which the treatise is trying to promote. Fortunio da Pistoia has written of love, while Cino's friend, a very thinly disguised reference to Dante himself, has written on the theme of virtue. No Italian, however, has, Dante claims, written poetry on the theme of warfare. The fact that Dante associates the highest form of poetry with virtue is scarcely surprising. In fact, recent studies have shown that it was a commonplace in medieval literary theory to define any work of literature as falling into the philosophical category of ethics. All poems are ethical from this perspective because they deal in a very broad way with human behaviour, and in their treatment of human behaviour they tend to make moral judgments to attribute praise or blame. Much less obvious, however, is Dante's claim in this passage that the lowest, but still illustrious, form of vernacular poetry, the poetry of utility which he links with the vegetative soul, is connected with warfare, a topic on which no Italian poet has written. On what level can warfare be said to be useful? And why has it proved so unattractive as a theme to poets writing in Italian? In order to assess these questions, we need to reconsider the idea of poetry as an activity inevitably linked with ethics, and to look forward from the De Vulgari Eloquentia to the Commedia. The Commedia clearly is an ethical poem. It's concerned with virtue and with sin, and therefore very overtly attributes both praise and blame in its descriptions of the saints and sinners whom Dante's pilgrim meets on his journey. But significantly, the Commedia does not attribute praise and blame to these souls in isolation. Rather, taking on board the convivio's assertion that l'uomo naturalmente compagnevole animale, that human beings are naturally political animals, The Commedia shows that to embrace vice rather than virtue is to refuse to acknowledge this natural impulse to live with and for one's fellow human beings. This is reflected most clearly in Hell, where the effects of sin on the social order are revealed to the reader very clearly. The souls who inhabit the città dolente, the city of woe that is Hell, are stubbornly egoistic, violently self-obsessed, and only too ready to betray or harm their fellow citizens. Moreover, the Commedia is a political text, but it's a political text in a very broad sense, a sense which brings it back once again to questions of virtue and of ethics. The Commedia does deal with the practical political issues of Dante's day, Guelphs and Ghibellines, blacks and whites, Henry VII and Boniface VIII. But it also demonstrates much more generally how in the afterlife, as well as in this life on earth, human beings are better off when they're integrated with and actively participate in a community. To reduce the Commedia's politics to a question of Florence versus Rome or of the empire versus the papacy is to fail to understand what Caciaguida means when he tells the pilgrim in Paradiso 17 that it will be bello, a good thing, for him to become a parte per se stesso in his exile. He will become not so much a party of one, but a member of no party at all. In the Commedia, Dante must not speak as a Guelph or as a white, as a supporter of Henry or an opponent of Boniface, but with a universal voice. His mission is not a partisan one, rather addressing his readers in their social context, but without attempting to convince them of any particular party line. The Dante of the Commedia conflates politics with morality, and in so doing returns us to the questions of definition posed by the De Vulgari Eloquentia. The Commedia's concern with questions of virtue suggests that it may be defined as a poem of rectitude. It is also, however, a political poem, insofar as the virtues which it promotes and the vices which it attacks are to a very large extent those which affect human beings in terms of their social relationships with one another in the community. Political poetry, however, is strikingly absent from the De Vulgari Eloquentia. If we look again at the three categories of poetic themes suggested by Dante in Book 2, Chapter 2 of the Treatise, it would seem that while political poetry may to some extent touch on questions of virtue, the most appropriate point at which political verse might have been inserted into the scheme which Dante proposes is under the heading of utility. Indeed, the usefulness of political poetry, which addresses human beings in their social context, in an attempt to lead them towards what the Convivio calls the vita felice, the good life, seems beyond doubt. And yet, as we've seen, Dante persists in asserting in the De Vulgari Eloquentia that the subject matter which pertains to the poetry of utility is not politics, but prowess in arms, the poetry epitomised by the Occitan poet Bertrand de Born. Bertrand has been shown to have enjoyed considerable fame as a warrior and as a martial poet in the Italy of Dante's day, and his poetry positively glories in the realities of the medieval battlefield. But significantly for my argument, Bertrand is not only a martial poet, but also a political one. However, he is a political poet who fails to take account of his ethical duty to attribute praise and blame. This much is clear from a consideration of the raison, the explanation of the situation that led to the writing of the poem, which conventionally precedes the text of the poem cited by Dante in the De Vulgari Eloquentia in collections of Bertrand's works. Here, Bertrand is described as hating peace and as rejoicing in the decision of his lord Richard the Lionheart to go to war. In particular, he's described as taking pleasure in the fact that it could have been his words, that is, the poems which he's written, which persuaded Richard to make war. This is, of course, the same Bertrand we meet in Inferno 28 among the sowers of scandal and schism, in a scene full of blood and wounds which could have been taken from one of Bertrand's own poems. Bertrand is not only a sinner, like all the souls in hell, he is also, which is for Dante far worse, a bad poet. And for having used his poetry as a weapon rather than in the interests of the good life, he's condemned by the Commedia's poet of rectitude. Equally problematic, if we recategorise Bertrand as a political rather than as an exclusively martial poet, is Dante's claim that there is no Italian poet who can stand alongside him as a poet of utility. While it may be true that the theme of warfare, so popular in the courtly context in which the Occitan poets lived and wrote, had found no exponents in the civic societies of northern and central Italy, it's not true to suggest that Italy lacked a poet of utility in the broader political sense. But I would like to suggest that Dante may have had his reasons for not wanting to mention the poet who might most plausibly have filled this gap in his account of Italy's poetic development. Guittone d'Arezzo, a poet who had written both moral and political verse, is never mentioned by Dante except in the most negative of terms. Yet it's almost as if Dante protests too much in respect of Guittone. He cannot rest with his airy dismissal of the older poet as merely municipal in the De Vulgari Eloquentia, but returns to dismiss him again twice more in the Purgatorio. The way in which Dante repeatedly returns to the figure of Guittone, only to reject him again, suggests that he may be more significant than Dante's willing to admit, perhaps even to himself. And this uneasiness in relation to Guittone explains, I believe, Dante's otherwise inexplicable assertion in the De Vulgari Eloquentia that the poetry which reveals to its readers what is most useful to them is not that which addresses them in their social and political contexts, but that which discusses the rather tangential theme of warfare. By focusing on Bertrand as a martial poet rather than as a more broadly political one, Dante is able to gloss over the Occitan poet's failure to understand that what is really useful to human beings in their social context is not war, but peace. And by using this narrower categorization, the poet is able to keep the problematic Guittone out of the picture. In so doing, Dante also creates a space which invites itself to be filled by a vernacular political poet who can write poetry which fulfills the craving of the vegetative soul for that which is useful, and leads it closer to achieving the higher aim of the rational soul, that is, to finding the virtue which will ultimately lead it to God. You can read a fuller version of this paper in The Italianist, number 27, volume 2, 2007.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Leeds Centre for Dante Studies. If you'd like to find out more about the centre and its activities, please visit www.leeds.ac.uk/Italian.